Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, titled Daniel and the Wise Men from the East. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send any of those prayer requests, comments, questions, or donations by check or money order, written to Bible Believers Fellowship, to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And we want to mention the opportunity to send your gifts by the P.O. Box or by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation. But we are not soliciting funds, but we do appreciate those who are led of the Lord to support this ministry. And now we begin our study in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, titled Daniel and the Wise Men from the East. This is part 1 of 2.
Matthew chapter 2, if you want to turn there. By the way, I heard from Brother John Ledford, and he had some visitors from Israel. And he said that they have a coin over there in Israel, just like your quarter that you have in your pocket, with Trump's face on it, in circulation. And he says most of the families over there, the families that pray, they thank God for Trump every day. That's what this guy from Israel said. What? Yeah, but it won't be about that, but I do. Welcome. Paul, Mark, is that what she's asking for? Turn down a little bit. Sadly, it's about China. I'll just say this before we get into this, but you know, how many of you heard of free trade? Raise your hand if you heard of free trade. I just want you to understand, as a current events update, we'll do another one sometime where I'll get a little more specific, but what they call free trade today is a lie. It is not free trade. It is a socialist redistribution of wealth program. You, as an American, your government doesn't charge tariffs. And what they're trying to make it look like is Trump is charging tariffs. It's terrible. We shouldn't have tariffs. Wait a minute. You already do have tariffs. Your government and your companies here in America pay tariffs. That's not free trade. And it is a purposeful globalist agenda to redistribute wealth. And when our economy does the things it does and you wonder, what in the world's going on? Well, you just trust me, it has very little to do with the American people. Has a lot to do with globalism and what's going on a global scale. We'll talk more about that, but people have criticized President Trump for his tariffs on China, and China is one of the worst abusers in this country. They abuse the American people and the American government. One of the things they do is they steal our technology. They steal digital information. They are constantly, the communist government in China, not the people. You got 1 billion people over there in China, and it's like America. Most of them are godless and wicked people, but as far as the people in general, that's a much better country than America in a lot of ways. Their churches are much healthier in a lot of ways. But communist China is an enemy of Jesus Christ. And because of the news media, people don't know that. You won't see this report on your news media. You won't find this on your local or national news media. They won't tell you a thing about it. But this just happened. 100 Christians were arrested for being Christians. 3 of them were tortured. That's all we know of right now. 80 are still missing. They have no idea where they're at. Some of them, when they carted off the husband and wife, they left their children. You imagine you and your wife being arrested, and you got little kids who are left there, and the government doesn't care. They just leave your kids alone. Hopefully, prayerfully, these people have some relatives to help them out with the kids. Close to 100 Christian leaders and students were arrested Sunday at a church in Chengdu, China, with a prayer letter claiming that three believers were tortured. Persecution watchdog group China Aid said that among the arrested at Early Rain Covenant Church were Pastor Wang Yi and his wife Jiang Rong, as well as Guo Hai and his wife, who were forced to leave their child unattended at home when they were taken into custody. Another church elder, Ken Defu, was forced to the ground by security officials as his residence was inspected. A translation of a prayer letter released by the church claimed that three Christians taken by police and then freed were tortured. Quote, three brothers and sisters who have been released told us that they were tortured by police at the police station today. And it says even stepped on their feet. There's some that gets lost in translation. It means that they stomped on their feet to inflict pain. One of the brothers had his hands and feet tied and to a chair, and he was left there all night. A brother said they didn't give him any food for 24 hours, not even a sip of rice. He meant a grain of rice. And didn't drink a sip, was deprived of rest, was tied to the chair all night for two, and it says, and then for 2-3 hours, that's again lost in translation, but he's tied to a chair all night, wasn't allowed to go to the restroom, wasn't allowed to eat, wasn't allowed to drink. The Communist Party officials had police surround the entrance of the church. Now, just picture that happening right now, right where you are right now. Communist Party officials had police surround the entrance of the church with vehicles before they broke in on Sunday and began arresting Christians without providing any explanation. Now, this is the communist. Quote, we are enforcing laws. Our process is to summon litigants and require them to cooperate with the investigation. You all should follow our process. What else am I supposed to tell you? You are not supposed to know some details, so you can never know. It is us rather than you who enforce laws. Now, I want to tell you right now, that's what you call the liberal mindset today. You will make the cake. You will bring your photographic equipment and you will serve me. You will call me what I want you to call me. Even though I'm a man, if I want to be called a woman, you will call me a woman. And if you won't, then I will come to your place of work. I will get you fired. You know, like that Kevin Hart lost that gig at the the Oscars. Well, that's nothing compared to what's happening to some people. Football coaches being fired and that sort of thing. It's coming. But pray. We're going to have an opening prayer. Huh?
They just say, it's coming. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. But these people do need our prayers. You know, these people who, the persecuted church. I'm amazed over the years I've talked to people and they don't even realize, like, for example, in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is building mosques here in America. Every month, several mosques go up in America. You are not allowed to build a church in Saudi Arabia. But because of the warped mind of the liberal, then it would be a violation of the First Amendment to tell Saudi Arabians they're foreigners. They're not Americans. You won't build another mosque in this country until you allow churches to be built in your country. End of story. That's the way it ought to be. But talk to a liberal about that and you'll get an insane defense of what we're doing. So let's lift this up in prayer and then we'll get into our Bible study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the peace that you've given us and the security that we've had for the most part here in America. We do see that there are efforts to take it away. But as we see what's going on in these other countries, it's a reminder of how blessed we are. And Lord, all we can do is be thankful for your mercy and your long-suffering because, as I've said many times, I don't understand why you don't allow it to happen here in America, this nation of ungrateful people, including most Christians who really don't give a hoot about what you say in your word. They just make things up. Make up their own morality, embracing Sodom and Gomorrah and all that's going on in the churches. All we can do is look to you and be amazed by your grace and mercy. Lord, we pray for these folks in China, those 80 that are missing, especially, and their families, and all the persecuted church around the world. So many that are being treated so badly. We've read about things going on in Pakistan and Indonesia and Morocco, Iran, so many different places. It seems today most of those places are Muslim. And we just pray more and more people in America will wake up to the reality that what Islam is, it is a false religion. It is a religion of Satan, but it is more than just a religion. The political aspect of Islam is inseparable from the religious, and it is opposed to a system that is opposed to our Constitution. Lord, we just pray you open the eyes of the people. But it may be that this is just setting the stage, and the rapture may happen at any moment, and then the stage is set for the coming Antichrist. This Pope, like the last several, are very much into the Chrislamic movement of bringing Muslims and Roman Catholics together. And we don't know exactly how it's all going to work out in the details, but we have a general idea based on the Scripture. So we ask for understanding and wisdom and patience, and that you come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to do a study that two or three of you may remember. We did something very similar. It was about 5 years ago. Huh? Yeah. Well, how long has it been now? That we did this right before you showed up then. Yeah. This isn't the exact same, but we're going to cover some of the same material. But it's called, we're calling this Daniel and the Wise Men from the East. And Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you'll notice there, if you count the heads of the men on the camel, there's more than three. So we'll get back to that in a minute. Go ahead and read with me, beginning of verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Is everybody there? Give you a second. Definitely have to wait till my wife's there, because I am going to... What? I got in trouble for waiting. I thought I'd get in trouble for reading before she's ready. I love you. All right, Matthew 2, let's read verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus... Wait a minute, are you all there? Your app, you youngins.
That's what I was on. I went to the Bible.
As long as it's King James, I don't care if it's app or paper. It doesn't matter to me. As long as it's the right... And it's got to be English, because that really messes things up when we try to read. All right, let's go ahead and read. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, we're just going to jump right in here. I want to go through this like a buzzsaw. You can take notes and write down your questions and comments. I want you to hold them to the end so we can get through this information. And some of your questions may be answered as we continue going along. But most of you have heard this before, but I don't ever take for granted everybody listening knows all that we've talked about. And we always hear about the three wise men. If you look at my front yard, I've got a nativity and got three wise men out there. And my brother cousin Kurt mentioned that some of the brethren may protest because, in reality, when the wise men showed up, Jesus wasn't a little babe swaddling clothes, but he was probably about 2 years old. The shepherds, I've got one shepherd there, and he's got a couple of sheep there. That's accurate because they were there when the babe was born. But the wise men showed up after the babe was born. But how many were there? Three? Well, the Bible never says there are three. So, we have to start by admitting there could have been three. So, someone complains about my three wise men, I'm going to say, there weren't three wise men? Prove it. Say, I've been watching Matlock. You learn things. But take your hymnal. We're not going to sing, but I want you to look at this. Take your hymnal and turn to page 91. I'm not going to get mine. I'll show you a slide. Page 91. We sang this Sunday, and a couple of people noticed and asked why I skipped a couple of verses. And it's in the First Noel. It's the name of the song. Look at verse 3, where it says something close to this anyway. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far. Is that what you said? What's the other one? Is it verse 5? Read to verse 5, Jenny. Now, we could sing that as long as everybody understood that's taken for granted, or, you know, it's assuming something we don't know. But I got so tired of getting flack about it, we just decided there's like 16,000 verses in that song. So let's just skip those two and sing the rest. So that's what we do. But, of course, one more that's not in our hymn book. I was surprised to find this. One more is not in our hymn book. That's this, We Three Kings. And it's a shame because I really like this song, especially that chorus. So, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Now, we're not above changing lyrics around here. So we're going to look at that, and by this time next year, we'll figure out how to sing that song. But it's not just the three wise men problem with this song. And we'll see, we three kings of Orient, you know. Now, listen, before we go on, I'm not teaching this, and we're going to get into the wise men in a more, I think, a more important point in the second half of this message. But I just want to point these things out, because it's not so that you can become so smart that you walk around correcting every Christian you come across when they mention three wise men. But, it again, if you watch Matlock, or if you have done anything when it comes to law, but really if you're an experienced and mature Bible student, what you'll find out that if you accept this stuff that isn't biblical, it'll mess you up in other areas. You'll be surprised. I mean, you know, when I first started out in Bible study, one of the things that messed me up was all this stuff that I was told was in the Bible. It's not there. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That was Ben Franklin. Wasn't the Apostle Paul? And what some of the other ones, God helps those who help themselves. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's another one. I actually remember my, even when I was preaching a couple of times, said, you know, and one of the things we see, the center of the stage, you know, I used to yell a lot more when I was younger. I'd preach. And the Bible says it'll change the seasons and blah, blah, blah. Well, you go find out that the Bible doesn't say God's going to change the seasons. It says that the Antichrist will attempt to change times and seasons. He's talking about the calendar and not the weather. But I actually preached it at least once or twice that one of the signs of the times was the fact that we had snow flurries in June. Or that one year we were playing outdoor basketball with the shirts against the skins on Christmas Eve, because it was about 70 degrees down in southern Ohio. Oh, the Lord's coming back. Let's go play some basketball. But that's what it was. But so that's anyway, that's the point of this study. So the Bible never says that these three wise men are kings either. And that's in the songs and the plays and all that. And the wise men brought three gifts, but that doesn't mean that there were just three of them. Matthew 2:11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, it could have been three. It could have been two who brought three gifts. It could have been 12. It could have been that four of them brought gold, four of them brought frankincense, and four of them brought myrrh. We're just not told. So that's the point, is just keep it biblical. Just don't go off and saying things that aren't in the Scripture, because it'll cause you, and it'll make you look dumb. You know, you'll be in a conversation one day, you know, you'll say something, and then everybody's like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. Of course, I'd love to refer to the fiddler on the roof, you know. The good book says, that's not in the good book. And that's, I've seen that happen to people during conversations. But interestingly enough, the only place that mentions the kings of the East is at the time of Armageddon. Ain't that interesting? Revelation 16:12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. Ain't that something? And also, this thing about the star in the East. Now, this isn't something rampant, but through the years, there's numerous times I've heard people, actually had a couple of atheists claim that's an error in the Bible. Has to be. Why? They just are sloppy readers. That's the point. We read verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East and are come to worship him. Wait a minute. If they came from the East, they couldn't have seen the star in the East, because then they would have traveled west. But see, that's not what it says. It says, basically, yeah, we saw the star when we were back there in the East. So if the King James Bible had been translated in about, you know, like 1870 by a bunch of scholars in Kentucky, that would have said, we saw that there star when we were back there in the East. See? But they weren't Kentuckians, and it wasn't 1850. So that's what the text says, for we have seen his star in the East. Also in verse 9 in Matthew 2, if you look in your Bible there, you'll see it, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, comma, which they saw in the East, comma, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now here's an example. When a gas line exploded in Kentucky, we saw the explosion in Ohio. Now, if you read the Bible the way these guys were, or if you read or listen to that example, the way these atheists read the Bible, then you would think that I said there was an explosion in Kentucky, but we saw it in Ohio, and then you would accuse me of contradicting myself. The explosion couldn't have been in Ohio, it was in Kentucky. See? No, what I said was that I was in Ohio, and I saw it. In Ohio, I saw the explosion that took place in Kentucky. And that's the way it is with these wise men. That really happened, and there was a bunch of people down camping along the Ohio River. I mean, this was wild, because if you go down where I live, you go to the river, there's a space, and then beyond the river is a space, and there's nothing but hills. That explosion happened miles away. It was massive, and the whole sky just glowed. They thought it was the end of the world. There were people down there, they were having a revival on the High River, singing. They were singing and praying, and the Lord's coming, this is the end. I mean, they were really scared to death. And that was before, you know, we had to wait till the next morning to find out on the radio news what happened, because we didn't know what it was. Well, new versions make matters worse by refusing to translate the text. How many of you have been told that those NIVs and the ESVs and all that, they're more accurate translations of the Greek text than the King James? You heard that? Well, the Greek term for that is baloney. This is how they translate Matthew 2:2. Now, compare that with your Bible. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, look at your verse. We saw his star. The King James says for you, we have seen his star in the East and are come to worship him. The words "in the East" aren't even in the NIV and the ESV. Clipped it right out of there. Well, I just want to show you this, because when I don't, people accuse me of making stuff up. So for the sake of anybody watching or listening who wants to see it, this is my copy of the received text. And I've studied the received text for about 20 years plus now. And not because I think the King James needs improvement, but I'll be honest with you. Number one, I just like Greek. I could not pick up Hebrew, but I like Greek. That's why I wasn't surprised to find out I may have a little Greek in me. You know? Yeah, I have a little Greek in me. I ate a gyro or a hero if you're from Southern Ohio. Doug knows a little Greek. He runs a restaurant down in Clintonville. But if you look up here, though, you can see English. It's a interlinear, and so the English is right below it. And in the Greek text translated into English, gar, autu, ton, estera, ente, and atole. Now, some of those words you kind of hear, that's why I like, one of the reasons I like Greek, is you'll hear some English in there. Estera, star. How close that is? And then Anatole. Have you heard of Anatole? That's a word in English that you'll hear. City. I think there's a city named Anatole. Well, that, if down the bottom, I blew it up for Doug back there so you can see it. The V sounds like an N. N, and the N sounds like an E. Ente Anatole. That means to the east. That's my point. To the east. Okay? So it should be in your Bible, amen? If it's in that Greek text, and they're saying they're going to give us a more accurate translation of the Greek text, why isn't it in the English NIV and ESV? They just said, we saw his star when it rose. Why isn't it in there? There's their text. There it is. In Anatole. That's right in their text. See, what a lot of people say, Charlie, that buddy of yours, he'd say, well, because it probably wasn't in the better manuscripts. No, it was. It's in all of them. There isn't a manuscript without it. It's in the text that they claim to use to translate their Bible. They just cut it out. You say, well, why do they do that? Well, they started back in 1881 in earnest. And you know what? Once you start cutting things out, it just gets real easy. It up. They come up with this thing called dynamic equivalency. And they translate things and they call it into dynamic equivalency. The Bible, the King James Bible, is what you call formal equivalency. And here's the difference. Let's say Olivia, she has a hankering for a hamburger. Now, Charlie, if he's smart, is going to interpret that with formal equivalency. He's going to get her a hamburger. But if Charlie wants to be goofy and get in trouble, then he'll bring her home a salad.
I got her the wrong sandwich. She's got the same sandwich from this place dozens of times, and I got the wrong one.
Oh, Joseph.
But see, that's an example of forgetfulness, right? Dynamic equivalency. But that's what they do with the new. That's why the new Bibles are such a terrible joke on the Christian church.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.